Jillian did not hear of the ruling until mid-afternoon. She was at the Center City store, and her co-worker, Argentina Rojas, who came in for the late shift at the counter, told her what she'd learned on the car radio. As soon as she could, Jillian went to the employees' lounge to phone Arthur. "Alive," he answered when she asked how he was. "Sort of," he described the decision. "I didn't expect to get slammed." "Why don't I take you out to dinner, Arthur?" She had not calculated this in advance, but her desire to console him was intense, and she knew how badly he'd wanted them to escape the apartment. Even trampled by disappointment, he was clearly pleased by the prospect. She said she would meet him at the Matchbook, a Center City standby where Arthur could get the steak and potato that remained his preferred fare. When she arrived at 8, he was already slumped at the table, a visible wreck. "Have a drink," she told him. When they were together, he refused alcohol for her sake, but if ever there was a man in need of a brisk scotch, it appeared to be Arthur. He had brought her a copy of the Opinion, but he did not allow her to read much of it before he let loose his misery. He told her several times they would lose, but the reality of it was more than he could bear. How could the judges have done this? "They've decided, Arthur, but that doesn't mean they're right." "That's comforting, because it's essentially the last word." Legally, there was more skirmishing left, but as far as Arthur was concerned, only writing on the wall of Rami's cell would have foretold more certain doom. "Is your client innocent, Arthur? Truly, what do you think?" Arthur's scotch had arrived now, and he cast a heavy-hearted look toward the glass, but did not touch it. "I believe Genevieve. Even Erno admitted that she told him that Rami had threatened to kill Louisa. And every time I go over it, I see that Erno was lying about something else, but I still need to believe Rami's innocent. And so I do." He wrung his head in misery at the absurdity of what he had said. "Then you have to go forward, don't you? As an attorney, could you really face yourself if you deserted an innocent client at this stage?" "Do what you can, Arthur. At least try," she said. "Try what? I need facts. New facts." "You know, I hesitate to make suggestions," she began. He waved off her apologies, inviting her to continue. "You haven't told Muriel that Erno was also stealing tickets, have you?" she asked. "Oh, God, no," said Arthur. "It only makes Erno look worse." "What of it?" "Well, Erno said that was why he confronted Louisa at Paradise, because he was afraid her activities might lead to discovery of his own. Correct?" "So?" "But Erno had Louisa searched and found nothing. So why did he remain so certain of what she was up to? And if he wasn't having an affair with her, then what brought him out at midnight on a holiday weekend to confront her?" Arthur said, "I can't even fight my way through his lies anymore." "Well, perhaps I'm fresher on this, Arthur, but thinking it over, I suspect Erno was watching Louisa on his own because he couldn't tell his underlings about his suspicions for fear it would reveal something about his own theft. And with his eye on her, he must have caught her in the process of stealing." "Makes sense. He said he went to Paradise to stop her. But why didn't Erno stop her at the airport?" "He probably wanted to see who she was delivering the tickets to. That's the usual routine in a surveillance, isn't it?" "Which brings you back to her buyer, Pharaoh?" "Pharaoh, what about him?" "Well, he must have been there, Arthur, at Paradise, at some point." She could see Arthur, almost against his will, revive. His posture improved and his face brightened, but after a second, he once more shook his head. "We can't find him. Rami said Pharaoh took a major conviction, but Pamela matched the name against court records and we got nothing. Even Erno said he's vanished." "I know, but one thing caught my attention. Genevieve said she couldn't figure out how Louisa and Pharaoh were able to get away with this. Is that right?" "That's what she said." "So Pharaoh had a far more sophisticated means of disposing of the tickets than peddling them on the street corner." Rami said he was pushing them through some company. Arthur took a second to follow her. What are you thinking? A corporate travel department? Something along those lines. Together, they began to plot possible approaches, and Arthur became more himself, enlivened with hope of the improbable. Then, quite abruptly, bleakness settled in again, and his small, soft eyes suddenly stuck on her. What? She asked, thinking there was some new flaw in their reasoning. Instead, he reached out for her hand. You were so good at this, he said.